This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up, President Trump spoke to the American public and to members of the military last night about our future efforts in Afghanistan. Did the president's message signal a change in America's strategies and tactics? Texas Congressman Ted Poe is here for that discussion in just a moment. And a major announcement coming today from the National Day of Prayer, the organization that announced the organization announced a new president for the National Day of Prayer Task Force that has been in place since 1979. The new president of the National Day of Prayer joins us here later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you are on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right, let me remind you of a couple of things. Coming up, if you're in the within driving distance of the Baton Rouge, Louisiana area, we've got coming up a Truth Conference, September 15th and 16th. Great lineup of speakers, be it my home church. We'll be joined by Alex McFarland, who you know from those listeners on the American Family Radio Network, Lauren Green from Fox News. We'll also be joined by Abraham Hamilton and Frank Turek, along with worship from Jeremy Daly. Find out more, go to the website truth2017.com. All right. During a speech last night, President Trump announced a shift in the U.S.'s policy dealing with the nearly 16-year-old war in Afghanistan. It's moving from one based on conditions on the ground instead of timetables, and he declared that the United States is not going to get engaged once again in nation building. Here's a couple of things of what the president had to say last night, which I thought, frankly, were encouraging. Here's what he had to say, in part.
We will not talk about numbers of troops or our plans for further military activities. Conditions on the ground, not arbitrary timetables, will guide our strategy from now on. America's enemies must never know our plans or believe they can wait us out. I will not say when we are going to attack, but attack we will. We are not nation building again. We are killing terrorists. I have already lifted restrictions the previous administration placed on our warfighters that prevented the Secretary of Defense and our commanders in the field from fully and swiftly waging battle against the enemy. Micromanagement from Washington, D.C. does not win battles. They are one in the field, drawing upon the judgment and expertise of wartime commanders and frontline soldiers, acting in real time with real authority and with a clear mission to defeat the enemy. That's why we will also expand authority for American Armed Forces to target the terrorist and criminal networks that sow violence and chaos throughout Afghanistan. These killers need to know they have nowhere to hide, that no place is beyond the reach of American might and American arms. Retribution will be fast and powerful. As we lift restrictions and expand authorities in the field, we are already seeing dramatic results in the campaign to defeat ISIS, including the liberation of Mosul in Iraq.
Well, I will tell you this. Sounds as if there is a sharp contrast between the policies of the previous administration in Afghanistan and what the president is putting forth. The second aspect is it's much different than what the last Republican administration, in my view, pursued. He was very clear about nation building, something I think is a futile effort, undertaking, for the United States to take our idea of democracy as we understand it and take it over into these Islamic countries who, quite frankly, do not have the appropriate foundation for the type of democracy that we have here in this country. And number one, this should tell us about the seeds of democracy grow in the soil that's prepared with a Christian worldview. All right, that may be a controversial statement, but the history proves it to be true. Well, joining us now to talk about the president's speech last night, Congressman Ted Poe. He represents the 2nd Congressional District of Texas. He is the chairman of the Terrorism Subcommittee. He has been a leader of U.S.-Pakistan policy and has introduced legislation to declare Pakistan a state sponsor of terrorism and calls for revoking their major non-NATO ally status, as well as U.S. funding to that country. Congressman, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It is good to talk to you.
Your first thoughts on the president's speech last night?
I thought the president did a good job of articulating what America's role will be and not be in Afghanistan, and explaining in a very candid way the situation in Afghanistan. So I was pleased that he did that. As you had just mentioned, the United States is not and will not be apparently anymore in the nation-building business. What that means is we go into a country and then we rebuild the nation in our image with a lot of money going into that country. We have spent billions and billions of dollars in Afghanistan, longest war in American history, and what do we have to show for it? The situation is the same in Afghanistan, if not worse. So the president made that clear, and he wants to, the reason we're there now is to go after the terrorists that are in Afghanistan. Long term, the United States may find themselves in a situation we're going to be there a long time, because I think the nation will fall as soon as we leave, and Pakistan will move in. I say all that to say Congress needs to now weigh in on whether the money and whether or not the United States should be in Afghanistan, and what is our national security interest in being there. And that is Congress's responsibility to weigh in with another authorization to use military force or not to use military force. So that's a quick summary of my opinion of the president's position and his speech.
Do you think your colleagues in Congress will authorize the president to do what he's laid out?
I do not know. And the reason that I am somewhat believe they would not is we have not had proposed to Congress a new authorization to use military force either in Afghanistan or the Middle East or Syria or any other place. And the reason I think is because it may not pass. Now, the president is operating under the original authorization to use military force that President Bush got Congress to pass, had Congress pass, to go after the folks who are responsible for 9/11. So he's operating that way. I think he's operating within the law. But to go further, I think that we need to weigh in. That's Congress's duty. To weigh in on future events in Afghanistan. 16 years is a long time to be at war.
It is. It is. And not to have a whole lot to show for it. Congressman Poe, you mentioned that Pakistan may move in. You have focused very heavily on Pakistan. The president called them out last night in his speech. How do you think Pakistan's going to respond?
They are going to be, they will take and have taken the self-righteous indignation approach. They do not agree that they have been two-faced about their participation, but they have been. We give Pakistan over $1 billion a year, and part of that money is that they will fight terrorism, and they don't fight terrorism in Afghanistan. That money, some of it's funneled through the ISI. It goes to the Taliban, and those are the folks that are causing crimes against American soldiers and military personnel, and wounding them and killing them. But they do fight terrorism in their own country, but they don't fight it in other countries, and so which is what we pay them to do. and they've been two-faced for years, and we ought to cut the money. We ought to declare them a state sponsor of terror, because they are, not just the Taliban, but the Haqqani network, and we need to remove their status as a major non-NATO ally. What that means is they get more military stuff if they are a major non-NATO ally, and we should not, we should revoke that status, because they have proven they are very two-faced. So I'm glad to see that the president and this administration is doing this. The previous administrations have not done that. They can continue to give money to Pakistan.
Where might Pakistan go if the U.S. pulls back from them and NATO kind of gives them the boot? What might happen next with Pakistan?
They will do more of what they're doing already, cozying up to China. So I suspect that that's what they will do. And we have paid them money for years to get them, even though they use it against us. That's part of the reason the money has been always argued. Give them that money, because if they don't give it to them, they will cozy up. They will be more inclined to face other go cooperate with other countries, namely China. But we can't pay those countries. You can't pay Pakistan anymore of American money, because they're two-faced about how they use that money.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Congressman Ted Poe, my guest. Congressman, according to U.S. General John Nicholson, you know, these situations are always more complex than they look on the surface. He's the top commander of American and NATO troops in Afghanistan. And Taliban jihadists generate more than 60% of their funding from the cultivation and production of opium. That's the main ingredient in heroin. I mean, any thoughts on how to address that dynamic of this mix?
Well, you're exactly right. That is a major source of income besides the funding from other countries and individuals. What the United States NATO operation in Afghanistan has done in the past is go and tell farmers, you can... we will show you how to raise, for example, wheat. And you can sell that wheat on the open market, and you can actually make more money on the open market by selling wheat than you can selling poppies. And why hasn't that been successful? Here's the reason, is because as soon as a farmer starts planting wheat, has a wheat crop, a Taliban operative will show up at the front door and say, no, you will grow poppies, because if you don't, we will come back and we will kill you and your family. So what does the farmer do? Raises poppies. They don't raise wheat, because they you can't call the police if you're a farmer out there in the middle of Afghanistan. There is no law enforcement. So that is a problem. That was the early solution. Then there was the spraying of poppy fields to kill the poppies. That has been going on. But in spite of all of that, you're correct. They still raise poppies, and the drugs are a big fund of funding mechanism for the Taliban. And I just wanted to explain that. We offered an alternative, but it has not worked in the practical world.
Well, as I said, these situations are a lot more complex than they appear on the surface. Congressman Ted Poe, thanks so much for joining us. I look forward to talking to you again real soon.
It's always good to talk to you, Tony. Thank you.
All right, folks, don't go away. We're back after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. One of the places we visit on one of the days on our tour of Israel is the Shepherd's Fields. Now, this is a place in Bethlehem. You can look out on any given day and see shepherds with their sheep, as if it were 2,000 years ago during the birth of Christ. So that's a very special place that we visit. Yeah, the terrain would be the same. You can just picture yourself being there the night the angels sang about the glory of the coming of the Lord. That's just one of the places we visit on one of the days. So if you would like to join us on our March 8th through the 16th tour of Israel, we'd love to have you. Just go to the website, twholyland.com, for more information. twholyland.com. Or for a free brochure sent to you in the mail, call us at 800-FAMILIES. That's 1-800-FAMILIES, F-A-M-I-L-I-E-S, option 5.
here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. In the New Testament, there are two words for time, chronos and kairos. Chronos is the time that we live in. It's the chronological sequence of events. But the Greek word kairos is an important word. It means the appointed time. It's the time God works in. And it's the word Paul used to describe the moment Jesus went to the cross. At kairos, that is, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. The trouble is, you and I make our plans according to chronos time. But instead, we have to learn to trust God's kairos timing. It's easy to get impatient waiting on the Lord, but we can trust Him. His appointed time is always better. You can get Anchor Devotional delivered in print at getanchor.com.
In America today, religious freedom, national borders, and even traditional gender roles are in peril. With all that's happening in our world, our nation is in desperate need of a return to conservative values. Hello, I'm Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of American Family Association. One of the best ways we can make a difference is with our vote. That's why each year the American Family Association is a sponsor of the Values Voters Summit to help increase cultural engagement. This year's Values Voters Summit will be October 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. The growing list of confirmed speakers includes people you hear on AFR like Ed Battagliano and Tony Perkins, as well as Michelle Bachman, George Barna, Gary Bauer, the Benham Brothers, and more. The Values Voters Summit is sponsored in part by AFA Action. To learn more and to register, you can visit valuesvotersummit.org.
Listening to Washington Watch, I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, folks. Today, the National Day of Prayer announced a new president. Dr. Ronnie Floyd, senior pastor of Cross Church in Springdale, Arkansas, the immediate past president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and a frequent guest host of Washington Watch right here, will serve as the new president of the National Day of Prayer. The board of directors making that announcement earlier today. Now, Dr. Floyd will continue to serve as pastor of Cross Church, and he joins us now. Dr. Floyd, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's always great to host for you, but I'd rather be on this end than that end, my friend. I've had a busy day, and I'm so thankful for you and appreciate the opportunity to talk today.
Well, thank you for joining us. I know it's been a busy day with this announcement coming. This is big news. This is, to me, not surprising because ever since I've known you, which is, I don't know, maybe 15 years or so, it's going back a ways, you have had a heart for prayer. This seems like a perfect fit for you.
Well, you know, Tony, God has been so good. I'm very humbled and overwhelmed by this opportunity, and I really mean that. We need the evangelical community from all across America to rally together towards our Christian expression of the National Day of Prayer. And, you know, we've been tasked with the incredible opportunity to mobilize unified public prayer for America. And boy, we need that today. I mean, never have I seen it like I'm seeing it today. And our hope is ultimately in the Lord. And we just need everybody to rally together and look toward not just May the 3rd, 2018, but all the way from now until that time. And that's why I'm thankful for you who believes in the importance of prayer.
Well, we absolutely do, and I know you were on last week talking with us about calling the nation to a day of prayer based on what's happened in the last week, the violence in Charlottesville and the division that is, it's been there, it's been latent, but it's been evident in the last week, the division, the racial division in our nation. What is first on your agenda as the new president of the National Day of Prayer?
Well, thank you, Tony, for that question. I believe going in and evaluating matters, I was on a vision team with their board and with various members from outside of their board and a few of their staff team for about 6 months. We had a couple of major meetings, and we were already looking at some of that, but it's different when you now have been deemed with a responsibility to lead toward the strategy and the future of the National Day of Prayer. So taking an internal look, looking toward Washington, D.C., of course, on May the 3rd next year, but also rallying literally thousands upon thousands of thousands of volunteers towards helping us to try our very best to continue to forward the footprint and the power of prayer in America. I really hope that we can one day really be able to see that a strong movement of prayer begins to happen all over this country, and that we'll be able to help in any capacity to that, in leading it or serving it around the nation.
Now, Dr. Floyd, you've been preceded by some pretty significant individuals that has led the National Day of Prayer Task Force. You have Vonette Bright, Shirley Dobson, Anne Graham Lott serving as kind of a transitional leader. I see one thing that's different. You're the first man to lead this initiative since it was formed in officially in 1979. Is that sending a message? Maybe that's a time we get even more aggressive and serious about prayer in our nation?
Well, first of all, these three women who led this ministry all the time, and so thankful for each one of them. You know, I've had the privilege of knowing each one of them, which is really amazing. Yeah. They all are quite remarkable and godly and wonderful women. Of course, Vonette's with the Lord today, but so thankful for all the legacy that she brought, and Bill, as well as Jim and Shirley Dobson, and now Anne. And so, you know, I believe the real heart is that we believe the board of directors of the National Day of Prayer, which extended me this opportunity, believed that they really needed to further their reach with local churches throughout America and denominations across America, and to do all they could to forward that. And so really they looked to having a pastor, and that's why they had no pushback on me remaining as a pastor. In fact, many of them believe that strengthens it completely of me serving, because you know and I know, Tony, the important place of the local church in America today. And of course, the National Day of Prayer is a multi-denominational, it is a multi-ethnic, a multilingual, a multi-ministry movement where we are really trying to move forward the agenda of praying for the next great move of God in our land, but also praying for our nation and the needs that are so real in our nation and for the leaders of our nation. And so we just pray that God will open doors and give us opportunities to do that everywhere.
Yeah, I agree. We've had great leaders, and I've had the privilege of knowing all three of them as well. When you look at the National Day of Prayer's mission of bringing Americans together to pray across, as you pointed out, denominational lines and ethnic lines. But if you want to reach Christians, I think you're absolutely right. I mean, where are you going to find the highest concentration? It's in the churches. And I do think that the church is the primary vehicle that God wants to use to take his message forth into this nation and beyond. And so I'm excited, for one, that the National Day of Prayer sees that, and we look forward to partnering with you to advance the goals and the mission of the National Day of Prayer.
Well, thank you so much, Tony. It's a joy, and y'all pray for me, please. I desperately need prayer. Somebody asked me how I'm doing today. I'm humbled, I'm overwhelmed, and I need a lot of prayer.
Well, we will be praying for you. Thanks so much, Dr. Ronnie Floyd, and again, congratulations for this new role that you'll be taking on as the head of the National Day of Prayer. God bless you.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, folks, don't go away. We'll be back with more Washington Watch right after this break.
making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, investors this week are hoping to get a little bit of a hint as to the future interest rate hikes. Of course, it's Jackson Hole Economic Summit that's put on every year, by the way, by the Kansas City Federal Reserve Bank. So the symposium has in recent years been a venue for some pretty big monetary policy kind of news. Well, I don't think we're going to see anything like that this go around. That is for certain. I think it's going to be a meeting with no dramatics whatsoever. Janet Yellen is speaking on Friday, as is Mario Draghi, the European Central Banker. Look, what everybody is concerned about is what's going to happen with interest rates. Or are they? I really don't think they're that concerned. I don't think anybody is expecting that the Federal Reserve is going to do anything or express anything that is going to indicate that there's going to be any kind of near-term policy actions that could impact the economy or the market. So I think it's going to be a rather muted meeting, but nonetheless, there are some that are sitting back and waiting till Friday's speech to see if there's a possibility that there could be a sell-off. Or maybe they're thinking there could be a sell-off leading up to the meeting. Well, I know it's only been one day, but nonetheless, it doesn't look like that is in the cards either.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. We're going to go to the phones here in just a moment, so get ready. I want to continue our conversation we actually started yesterday about kind of the media bias. But I want to clarify something I said earlier because I was informed that it may not have sounded correct. As I was talking about Dr. Floyd coming in behind Von Ett and Shirley and Ann Graham Lotz, and let me just say I have tremendous respect for the number of women who have taken on the role of prayer warriors that pray for this country, pray for the church, pray for families. I've got a team that pray for me. Men kind of have looked at prayer as, I'm just going to say what it looks like as if it were stuff that women should do. That's not a man's thing. Well, it is. It is both. It is for Christians. We're all to pray. And I think that the message that is sent, is being sent, and should be sent, that the local church needs to be praying and have a pastor leading this up, I think takes it to another realm of importance in communicating that, look, this is men need to be on their knees praying for this nation. I'm grateful, thankful for the women who have led the effort over the generations, really. They've been leading out in prayer. But our nation is at a point that is so critical that it's time that men get serious about praying too. And I'm hoping that with Dr. Floyd being tapped as the new president of the National Day of Prayer, that that message will be conveyed, that both the men need to take their place alongside the women in praying for this nation. And I want to encourage you to pray for Dr. Floyd. Continue to pray for this country, where we're at right now. We continue to be at a very, very, I think, dangerous moment. All right, we started talking about this yesterday, about the media bias and you know, whether or not that's affected your support for the president, so on and so forth. But look, we all get the media bias. We see it's so obvious. It's not even, you don't have to go looking for it. It's blatant. So this is what I want to know. Given how unreliable the mainstream media has become, where are you getting your news? You know, where do you get your news about what's going on? I mean, I'll tell you, I don't watch cable TV. I I read papers, a variety of papers, but I've got several sources. You hear me talk about them. Of course, we're right in the middle of things, too, so oftentimes we're not reading about the news. We're kind of helping make the news. But I'd like to know, what are your sources? Where are you getting your news from? 866-372-7234, 866-372-7234. Or maybe you trust the media. If you trust the media, the mainstream media, cable news, let me know if that's where you get your information. But I have just seen in the, and this wasn't always this way. In fact, last week we had my good friend Bishop Harry Jackson on the radio. We were talking about Charlottesville and what had happened there. And he and I were talking about the book that we wrote a long time ago, 11, 12 years ago. And in that book, and it's there, you can actually verify it, we were talking, I wrote about how I had a very, I've always been defensive of the media. I used to be a television reporter years ago. And I got to know a lot of secular reporters, and I had respect for those that did their job with diligence. Even though I disagree, we had different worldviews, but they tried to be fair. Now, it always came out slanted, because everything you say and do is going to be shaped by your worldview. But they weren't intentional, and they weren't deceptive. And I even wrote about that in the book, about some of the you know, main news characters 10 years ago defending CNN. But that changed dramatically after the election of Barack Obama. I've watched it. So where do you get your news from? We're going to go to the phone lines. We're first going to go to Michael in Texas. Michael, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. Good afternoon, and God bless you and your coverage of what is a major problem for us normal people here in the States, and that is you cannot pick up a newspaper and read it and read an unbiased report on what is happening in the world. Right here in Victoria, Texas, our advocate slants the news so badly that you can't get your news from there. There's only one view, and that's the left liberal, everybody they interview, and so on and so forth. There is no in-between fair conservative reporting anymore. And I go, honestly, I go to you all, I go to Christian Broadcasting, and I try to go to Christian websites on the Internet. I do watch Fox News. I think out of anything on the television, they are the fairest. They don't fall into the Democrats' pocket and pray to government and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I'd like your opinion on that also.
Well, I'll give it to you, Michael. On the other side of this break, we're up against the break. Michael, thank you so much for listening and calling in today. I'm with you on local newspapers. I used to subscribe to my local paper back home in Louisiana, and I stopped that about 12 years ago. They were so biased, and I guess I I'll tell you about that. I'll tell you why. It's not just an opinion. It's fact. I know the bias. I saw it. We're coming back with more Washington Watch right after this. And don't go away. Your phone calls are next.
Every day, Christian values are increasingly being pushed out of the public square and out of public policy. What can ordinary Christians do to make their voices heard in their day-to-day lives and in Washington, D.C.? Family Research Council is here to help with answers and insight from our experts. Our work in Washington, D.C. is to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and culture. We want to hear from you. Send us your questions about how you can better live out your faith beyond the four walls of your church, or about any issue that FRC stands for, issues like life, marriage, and family, or religious liberty. Go to frc.org/askFRC and enter Ask FRC in the subject line. We'll consider your question, and you may also have a chance to be published on our blog. Again, that address is frc.org/askFRC. Thank you for standing with us.
Hey, this is Kirk Cameron, and I want to congratulate the American Family Association for 40 years of standing for truth in our culture. I so appreciate the efforts of Don Wildman and Tim Wildman and the entire staff at AFA. I've seen how God has used them time and time again to resist what is evil in the culture and stand for what is good. Praise God for what he's done through the American Family Association for the last 40 years.
Exploring the Word is all about Jesus, because Jesus is on every page of the Bible, but sometimes people don't see him.
Bert Harper of Exploring the Word.
So we're taking a microscope and finding Jesus in each book of the Bible. He's there. And Alex and myself on Exploring the Word, we're going to try to bring that out, and it will be a blessing.
Join Bert and Alex each weekday at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Dan Celia from Financial Issues. You know, the charitable gift annuity concept is more important today than probably ever. It is something that you have heard me talk about for many, many years. And right now, for now, the tax code is still allowing charitable organizations to establish a charitable gift annuity so that you can be guaranteed permanent income for the rest of your life. Don't waste any time. So many of you have IRAs, 401k money. Peel off a piece of that. Establish your charitable gift annuity so that you have a portion of permanent income that you know is never going to change for the rest of your life. Would you do it today? Call AFA Foundation, 800-326-4543. Extension 345. That's 800-326-4543. Extension 345.
This is Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right. I was talking to Michael on the other side before we went to the break about the media bias. He was talking about Fox News. He watches Fox News. I actually I don't watch a lot of TV. I will occasionally turn on. If I turn it on, I'm going to watch Fox, but I don't even watch it that much. First off, let me just say, folks, okay, and I probably shouldn't be saying this because I'm on talk radio, but you don't have to listen all the time, and you don't have to watch all the time. Don't leave the TV on all the time. I mean, it's people's blood pressure goes. I was talking to a guy the other day. He said, my doctor told me he had high blood pressure. He said, you need to turn the TV off. I mean, we don't need to be ingesting this stuff constantly, okay? I was telling my congregation the other day, I can tell you without picking up the paper, in one word, what's happening and how it is. I don't have to pick up the paper. I don't have to turn the TV. I can tell you. It's bad. B-A-D. I mean, it's bad. We know that. Okay? So we don't need to be reinforcing that all the time. What can we do about it? So that's really what we should be focused on, is not focusing on the problem, but how can we bring about solutions? And that's what we hope to do here, what we strive to do here at the Family Research Council, and what we try to solve these problems, and we try to help Christians operate with a biblical worldview in this culture at this time. So I was talking about a local paper. Back in Baton Rouge, I used to call it the Baton Rouge aggravate because it was so aggravating to watch them, what they would do. It's the Advocate, but they would I would be in an event, and I would read about it the next day, and it sounded like it was nothing that I even saw. It was completely different, their take on it, and of course they are never favorable to conservatives, and they would any time they would have an opportunity to go after me, even in my present role, they would do so. So I don't return their calls, don't talk to them, because all they want to do is put forth their liberal propaganda. And one of the things I often saw was that I will read various papers. New York Times, not a great source, but you can find out information. You got to dig a little deeper. You got to think critically. You can't just take everything they say, at face value. But I would read a story in the New York Times, and the next day it would be in the local paper, or a spin on it, or another variation, regurgitated from a local reporter. So, I mean, it's anyway. I use a lot of online sources, Christian organizations. You've heard me say it before. CNSnews.com is a great source. We have Terry Jeffrey on here all the time. He is a veteran reporter, political reporter in Washington. I use, there's a lot of, it depends on what you want to focus on. You know, there's like campus reform has stories about what's happening on college campuses. So it just depends on what you want to look for. But there, you should look for independent sources, but they got to be credible. You don't want just propaganda. I mean, you understand the worldview they're coming from. We do not try to hide at all that we're coming at this from a Christian worldview. So if you want news from a Christian worldview, then listen to me. If you don't, then listen to me anyway, because that's what you're going to get. All right, 866-372-7234. Let's go to North Carolina where Robin is on the line. Robin, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. I get all of my news from AFR or FRC or Alliance Defending Freedom or American Center for Law and Justice, Rush Limbaugh. That's all I listen to. I don't listen to Fox, and I've noticed anytime you try to have a discussion with a liberal on social media, they always want to say, you need to stop watching Fox News, and I always love to tell them, I never watch Fox News.
Well, good for you. You got good sources. Those are good sources. AFR, One News Now, great information. It's a good source. They got good news. They track, they keep what's up with what's going on. Alliance Defending Freedom, a good source of information on the religious liberty front. They will keep, and by the way, a lot of these stories that you will read on, you'll hear from AFR or from One News Now or a lot from Alliance Defending Freedom. You won't see anywhere else. The media does not cover it. They will not report it. So the only way you know about it is by getting their newsletters or visiting their website. So that's actually something that gives you a leg up on your friends that you can share information with them that they don't know about because they're watching the mainstream media and even Fox. Fox is increasingly reluctant to address some issues. Now, their online version, Todd Starnes, who's on the program frequently, he writes a lot on the religious liberty front, and so their FoxNews.com carries a lot of his pieces. Thank you, Robin, for the call. Thanks for listening in, and thanks for getting your news from us. We appreciate that. Let's go to Kansas, where Frank is on the line. Frank, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi. I don't watch TV either. We haven't watched TV in, I don't know, 10 years.
Do you have high blood pressure?
No, I don't have high blood pressure.
Well, see, there's a correlation there. I'm just picking. Go ahead, Frank.
I'm approaching 73, so I guess I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, you are.
We listen to you. We listen to Jay Sekulow. I do listen to Rush Limbaugh. Most of my news I get online from Christian news sources. And when I have a question where I have different stories, I go back to the original source where the story happened whenever possible. But I have this set of groups that I use that I have learned have been reliable. When I check them out, they always tell it the way it is. So that has helped me quite a little bit. But you're right. They'll tell stories and things that are happening. A year ago, there was a revival that took place in a small West Virginia town. It was on the Christian news networks. It was not on any of the mainline news media. But it was quite a story because it was started by a high school kid.
Yep, and we had him on the program here.
Yeah.
That was a great story.
Yes, it was. So, I guess I do that way because my main interest is I want to know what I need to know so that I can do my part in, promoting the kingdom a little bit here.
Well, thank you, Frank, because that's exactly what a Christian citizen should do, is to be informed of the information they need so that they can make a difference right where they are. You are spot on, because those stories like what happened in that West Virginia town, we had the high school student on here, told us how it all started and all of that. that's encouraging news. That gives us hope because, you know, what are we told constantly by the press? That, well, the millennials, they do not support religious values. They do not support this. They have gone, you fill in the blank. And that's one of the reasons I wrote the book, No Fear, which primarily is the stories are stories of millennials standing up for their faith. Look, these millennials are committed. But these good news stories, and the and not just the good news stories, but also the attacks on religious freedom, the mainstream media doesn't want you to know about it. All right, let's keep rolling here. Before we run out of time, let's go to John in Tennessee. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
All right, thanks, Tony. Tony, I get my news primarily from your program. I don't listen or watch Fox News myself. My wife and I really don't watch a lot of TV, but when we watch news, we watch One America News on television. Also, I'll take a peek at the Independent Journal Review. I don't even watch my local news, period, except to get the weather for the day. And another source that I've subscribed to in Primus publication from Hillsdale College, which it may not be so much a strict news outlet, but it's got some very interesting articles on current events and a lot of information in there that you're never going to hear anywhere else. And I take that subscription, and that's an excellent source I found.
Yeah, I get it as well. It is a good source. You're absolutely correct. John, thanks so much for the call. I'll have to say I see a pattern emerging here. It sounds as if fewer people are getting their source from television news, even cable news. And it's one of the things I think the cable news people need to realize, that they're driving off a very significant sector of the public. I mean, you look back at this past election, and the evangelical vote, the Christian vote, the social conservative vote, however you want to describe it, very significant in this election. And increasingly, they are not finding news and information from the, or gaining that information, or going to the cable news and news outlets for that, as they traditionally have. All right, let's go to Alabama, where John is on the line. John, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, well, I just want to say thanks for taking my call, and I'd like to say one thing about what you were saying earlier about too much news. First of all, yeah, that's extremely unhealthy, in my opinion, to do nothing but absorb all the stuff that's going on in mainstream media. And even through you guys and the opposite, the left, if you take too much in, you're going to get absorbed into that whole that cycle of just getting worked up about things and getting more and more polarized. Now, I'd like to say on this statue stuff, and this is one thing I haven't heard much from anyone on the right, and I'm a conservative, and I'm from Alabama. I've been around a lot of this Confederate memorial stuff, and I've heard a lot of people on both sides. I don't understand why conservatives have such a problem letting some of those memorials go. Why, and maybe you can help me with this, I've read a lot of things on both sides of this. They seem to belong in museums as far as I can see. Why are we celebrating our Confederate statues?
John, a good question. And I will, I've got a few minutes here, I will take a stab at that. First off, let me go back to something when you started about, you know, agreeing with me over what we listen to, and it just reminded me of Philippians 4:8, where it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And believe me, none of that describes mainstream media. And that's not just the news, it's other programming. I think we need to, you know, you become what you think and what you ingest mentally. And that's, you know, so we've got to, I think we need to spend more time in the Word of God, more time listening to praise music. Please hear me. I'm not saying that we should bury our heads in the sand and say nothing's happening. I do not suggest that whatsoever. I'm just saying we don't have to saturate ourselves with the bad news. Now, to your point, John, I actually spoke on this Sunday at church. As we're going through the letters of Paul in Romans chapter 14 and 15, where it talks about our liberty as Christians. This is Paul was writing strictly to Christians and their relationship with one another, and that we have liberties. But we should be, our liberties are limited by our, should be limited by our love for others. And I'm only talking now about the, among Christians. And I've had some conversations with some African-American pastors, Christian friends, brothers. And they have issues. They're concerned about what you just said, John, about these statues and what they remind them of. And I think we have to be willing to have that conversation about that. And, you know, we should not allow, as Christians, okay, again, I'm talking about Christians, we should not allow statues or flags or anything else that are non-essentials to divide us as Christians. Now, there's a bigger thing at play here, and I think this is why a lot of people are troubled, and I am too, because there are those that are really not trying to bring racial reconciliation to this country. They're trying to divide this country further, and they're using this and exploiting it for their purposes. And there are those that want to eradicate all of our history, are not just the, you know, the Confederate War and all of that. They want to eradicate our Christian heritage and history. And the president was right in the when he asked the question, where will they stop? They won't answer that question because they want to remake America in their own image. But I do think that as Christians, we can plot a way forward by working together across denominational and primarily ethnic lines, being sensitive to the needs of our brothers and sisters. So I agree with you, John. I think this, we need to, before we respond in some of these very tense and emotional situations, we need to pray. And before you, you know, I know we're almost out of time here, but I'll probably get some emails. Before you hit send, pray about it. Ask God to show you how we, as Christians, model unity and love so that the world might know that the Father sent the Son. All right, folks, out of time. But Lord willing, we will be back again tomorrow, and I hope you will as well. We'll take your phone calls again tomorrow right here on Washington Watch. Until then, remember what the Apostle Paul says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.